Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Our second point. First point is I complain. The second point is I burn. Did you catch this? It says, but if I say I will not mention his word or speak his name anymore, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. So, of course, wouldn't you consider quitting at that point? When they have your neck in stocks, your wrists are tied, your body's being contorted, it's the entire night. Of course he thought about quitting. He said to himself, well, maybe I shouldn't talk about God enough. Maybe I should stop talking about him so much. Well, maybe I don't need to follow him so much. Maybe I can kind of compromise a little bit. Maybe I can blur the lines between me and the world. Maybe I can just kind of try to fit in a little bit, kind of blend in with the crowd. Maybe I don't have to talk about God so much. Maybe I don't have to mention him so much. Maybe I didn't have to take that jar and shatter it in front of the temple on the steps for everyone to see and the king to hear in the temple guard. Maybe it was me. But when he contemplates quitting, what is the next thing he says? But I can't stop following. I can't stop talking about him. Hey, listen, church. When you have come to a moment in your life, it could be several. I'll paint two of them just in general terms and you can fill in. A, when you have seen the depth of your sin, when you have truly seen what it costs for your salvation, that the cross was not a pretty thing like we have on the back of the wall behind me, that it was a savage, awful thing that happened to Jesus, that there was blood and there were tears and there was a mangled body, and forget about the physical. God literally pouring out every single ounce of his judgment and wrath on Jesus, because if it falls on you, you're done. And when you understand, again, forget about the physical, behind the scenes, that Jesus is taking the full brunt of the wrath of God, a destructive wrath. I said it last week. God is unchanging in his pursuit of his holiness. He will stop at nothing to protect his glory, his holiness, his purity. Therefore, anything that is sinful must be destroyed. That's why only a little inkling of God shows up in the Old Testament. All those powerful moments you hear and the glory and the cloud, that's like not even his fingernail is showing up, because if God's presence truly shows up, it obliterates everything that is sin. So church, when we open our eyes to the forgiveness, the true, not a little white lie, not because maybe let's go on different levels, right? I'm in high school, I peek over at my friend's test and I pass the test, right? I'm in college, I steal someone else's paper and I make it my own. I put my name on top of it, I get an A and I pass the class. Let's go a little further. You get your first job, right? And maybe you fudge on the timesheet a little bit. You didn't really work 8 hours. You worked about five, but you wrote it down. Well, back in the day, and that's how old some of us are. You used to write on a timesheet before they started actually punching those things in, right? You lied. You stole. No, it's when you get to the dark stuff, when you get to the stuff that nobody sees, when you get to the stuff that nobody hears, it's when you get to that place and you realize that Jesus knows it all. God knows it all. And because he is unchanging, he has to destroy you. He has to. His character and his law demands it. Remember what I said last week? Hole in the ground, everyone who wants to hang out with the devil will be there for eternity, sealed up and gone. There are no second chances. When you realize that you have been rescued from that and how much it cost for you, you'll never go back again to anything this world has to offer. When you've tasted the gospel, when you've tasted forgiveness, for some others, maybe it's been a life situation where you faced, I don't know, a sickness or a health issue or a family member, and you kind of said, Lord, like you saw God in a different way and you committed and you saw God's power heal or do or act, and you said to yourself, there's no other answer. Just like Jeremiah, there's no other way. So therefore, I will follow. See, it burns in you. It burns inside of you. Cannot be forgotten. It cannot be dismissed. You can't be distracted from it. It's right there before you, just kind of burning in your bones. There is no other option for Jeremiah. He says, I've tried to hold it in. I've tried to keep my mouth shut about God. Maybe I'll just swallow it when I'm around certain people. Maybe I'll just ignore it when I'm in certain places. Maybe I just won't talk about it too much. And he can't. He can't. He has to. And what I love about Jeremiah is that when he is in those stocks and his body's being twisted and he's alone and it's dark and it's painful and he has no answers and he's been abandoned and he feels these raw emotions, it's there where he says, I will never turn away from God. I will never speak any other name but the name of God. I will never share any other truth but the truth of God, because there is nothing else that compares to this. There is nothing else that you can put on the scale and say, well, maybe. No, there is no scale. It's God, his truth, his presence, all that I need. And in the darkness, he resolves to follow no matter what. God's word irresistible, God's word irrepressible, and he emerges resolved. Church, I encourage you this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. Because I can only see your face, I can't see your heart. But God does. Resolve. In the darkest of moments, resolve. In the most complicated moments, resolve. In the loneliest of moments, resolve. In the most painful of moments, resolve. When you're trapped, when you're paralyzed by what's holding you, resolve to emerge from that moment more committed than ever before to sharing Christ, to living for God, to being just for him. Listen, church, there's a price to pay for following Jesus in a society that no longer cares about Jesus. But don't pay the price just because you have to share his name. Don't pay the price just because you have to share his word. Those two things are critical. But pay the price because you are proud of the work that the potter is doing in your life. Be proud of the new creation that he is shaping and forming on that spinning wheel. Stand up proudly for what God has done in your life. Pay the price for that. Obviously, we pay the price for the gospel. We pay the price for preaching Jesus. Okay, yes, amen. Important, critical. Also, pay the price because you are proud of the work that the potter is doing in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your relationships. Be satisfied in that. Our third point, and we begin to close. Our third point is very brief. Now it's I versus them. I complain, I burn, I versus them. Notice it says, he says, he's thinking to himself, I hear them whispering. That was his nickname, terror on every side. He got a nickname, right? He's always saying, Babylon's coming, Babylon's coming. Like the boy that cried wolf. So they called him terror on every side. Yeah, we're going to be destroyed. Sure, Jeremiah, where is Babylon? You know, we don't see him. Being sarcastic with him. Denounce him, denounce him. He says, my friends are waiting for me to slip. We'll prevail over him. We'll take revenge on him. Aha, so now we see that a big part of his struggle was the fact that he was alone against people who were speaking against him. Hey, listen, we're all human beings. We're not robots. We're human beings and we have feelings. And whether we say it or not, what some other people think of us or say about us is important to us, right? We're not like a rock. We're not like a block or something. And it's the whispers, and it's the gossip, and it's what they want to do to him, the conspiring against, the turning against, that is part of his pain. It's part of his doubt. It's part of his trap. It's part of what he's wrestling with. And what I say to you this morning is this, church, because I think we need to hear it from time to time, and I like to repeat it. There is nothing outside those doors that is better than Jesus Christ died for you for the forgiveness of your sins, that you may one day enter into glory, be a part of the new heavens and the new earth, and delight in the presence of God for an eternity. This is a moment. I did a burial and a funeral on Thursday. have a memorial service today towards the end of the day, actually in here. And I was sharing with that group, and I'll share with the group that will be here later on today after all you've gone home. This world, this moment that we are living in is exactly that. It's a moment. The Bible says that we are but a mist. You know the morning mist? You know now when the weather changes in December, January, that it'll be kind of cold, a little hot, and you drive out in the morning, and they say, be careful, there's a little bit of fog on the road today, this morning. The Bible says that's all we are. The moment the sun comes up, the fog is gone. Why would you sacrifice forever for the fog of a morning? That makes no sense. Do you hear it? If I say it to you this way, do you hear it? So now I say to you this. What does this world have to offer that is better, that is superior to the forgiveness of our sins at the core by Jesus Christ, by the redemption of our lives, by the putting back together of us, by the putting back together of friends and families, whatever it might be, regaining career, regaining path. What is better? What can this world offer that is better than the blessings of God? What? They can't offer anything. Everything is passing. Movie comes out, we're all excited, we wait for the Blu-ray, and then what happens? We store it, it gathers dust. Oh, because I really like this particular song, whatever, you buy the album, you download it to your, and then you don't listen to it after a couple of months. Oh, because I really love this piece of furniture, it's gonna be so pretty, you put, and then you wreck it, and it ends up on the Goodwill truck to give it away. Because this outfit is so da-da-da-da, whatever, whatever, and then what do you do with the outfit? You put it in a garage sale, you give it away, you put it in the Goodwill box. Do you see? It's all temporary. We fall in love with it, and then it passes. What is prepared for us is not passing. What is prepared for us is permanent and forever. And there is not one thing that this reality can offer you. Our society, which is the society on the planet with all the resources, with all the material, nothing comes close to the blessings of God. On a very simple level, I'll share this with you and then I'll move on. Because the blessings of God truly satisfy. They quench the hunger. So it might not be a yacht. It might not be, you know, the $5 million home. It might not be the car you've always wanted. But there is something about the blessings of God that satisfy, that settle my soul, because I know that I have everything because of what he's given to me. We'll close. I love these words. He comes around to it, right? The raw emotion, part of the struggle of I can't denounce God. Part of it is because I've lost my friends. I've lost my group around me. But, there's always a but, the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Look at this. Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe heart and mind, that's us, let me see your vengeance on them. He's not very happy, obviously. For to you I have committed my cause. Commit your cause to the Lord. Commit every moment of every day to the Lord. Commit your cause to the Lord. Then look what he says. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Hey, listen, church, let's make this very simple. There is a song in the storm. For you, the follower of Christ, there is a song in the middle of the storm. And what I want to say to you this morning is, fill the darkness with praise. Fill the darkness with God's victory. Fill the darkness with God's glory. Fill the darkness with praise, not doubt, with praise, not fear, with praise, not lament. Your God is victorious. Jesus is victorious. What does that sound like in the New Testament? Let me read it for you. John chapter 16, verse 33. It's not behind me. I'll just read it to you. I have told you these things, Jesus says, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. This is Jesus talking. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. Can you finish the phrase through those masks? I have overcome the world. The victory of Jesus is your victory. It doesn't matter what they've done to you. It doesn't matter how much it hurts. It doesn't matter if you feel paralyzed or you're free to move around. It doesn't matter if you're twisted and contorted, how much it hurts or how nervous you are. It doesn't matter. The victory is yours in Jesus Christ. Will it be a long, dark night? Absolutely. Would it be a long, painful night? Absolutely. Will it be a long valley sometimes to walk through to get to that side? Absolutely. Will you be victorious? Absolutely. Not because of what you've done, not because of what you know, but because in Jesus Christ, everything that this world will throw out to you, every single problem you will have, every single obstacle you will encounter, he has overcome. Not because I say it, but because he said it. Not because I say it, but because there's a cross behind me that declares it. They thought they finished him on the cross. They thought they finished him by putting a rock in front of him and a dead body and a hole in the ground. And guess what? He's not there. And he stands at the right hand of the Father Almighty, interceding for you and me, praying for you and me. That's our victory in Jesus Christ. So, church, I say to you today, no matter what's happened or no matter what is happening, you will overcome. Because in Jesus Christ, give us his power, he will give us his victory. If he has overcome, so will you. Jeremiah emerged from this awful, awful moment where anybody else would have quit and walked away and would have been well within their right to do so. He walked out of here more resolved than ever to follow the Lord. Again, I can only see your faces. I can't see your heart. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's happening. But resolve to come out of it praising the Lord, living for the Lord, and enjoying the victory that he has already given to you. Can we say amen together to that, church? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can pause and say thank you. Say thank you that in the middle of that dark night, in the middle of the most difficult of moments, in the middle of the most painful of moments, where we feel trapped and can't breathe, where it feels that everything is closing in on every side, just like it was for Jeremiah, you are with us. Your word and your truth, your love and your grace burn inside of us. There is no other way but your way. There is no other life but a life lived for you. He walked away. He survived this because of you. We will survive whatever we're going through because of you. Jesus, you were honest. You told us that in this world there will be trouble, and Lord, there's a lot of it. But in you, we will overcome. And for that, we are grateful. And for that, we are thankful. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the victory of your Son, Jesus Christ, over everything small and over everything large. May we delight in that victory, that we might know that you are our God, that you are our warrior, that you are our shepherd, that you are Lord, and you are Savior. We love you. Thank you for Jesus. In his precious name we all pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.